So, what's up, guys? What's up? We're back with the ATP Sit and Talk. We're here today with Kara K. Lazauskas. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, Tony, I am 28 years old. Born and raised in New Jersey. Moved out to Orange County 3.5 years ago, almost 4 years ago now, to pursue my graduate degree in molecular muscle exercise physiology under the amazing Dr. Andy Galpin. I made the move, try to enhance my life, move from New Jersey, try to figure things out in California. After I graduated, I decided, you know what, I need to stay out here and apply myself before I decide to go get a PhD. And I moved, take a step further, moved up to LA, figured some things out, and started working at Unbreakable first, actually, as a facility. Realized some things there and decided to move and transition my energy to work as a coach, trainer, however you want to spin it, at Dog Pound in West Hollywood. But prior to that, my whole life's been sports, training others, training myself, handling a few life experiences of my own that I'm sure we'll probably get into.
Also, Cal State Fullerton alumni.
Yep, shout out. Exactly, Titans.
She's local. So I know you came from New Jersey, if I'm correct, right? How was that transition from New Jersey coming to Los Angeles for you?
Yeah, the biggest thing, and I still get this, even though I've been out here for a while, is that, wow, where are you from? You're either loud or you're honest or you're really excitable.
I like that, though.
You're aggressive. I've gotten aggressive before, but in more in a positive light than a negative of curiosity from people out here that are LA or not from New Jersey. The biggest shift has been that in New Jersey, I come from an area of New Jersey right in the center. I actually grew up exactly an hour 15 away from LA, or LA, exactly an hour 15 from New York City, exactly. Yeah, okay, there's an LA in New Jersey, sorry guys. Exactly an hour and 15 minutes from New York City, an hour and 15 minutes from Philadelphia. So there's actually a house down the street where I grew up called the Centerville House, which was the halfway point for George Washington. So that area, if you could pitch, fun fact, is a very, what I call don't ask, don't tell state. I grew up in a Roman Catholic church, grew up very in the unknown in terms of you play sports, you do well in academics, and that's what you know, that's what you do. You have come from a good family, all that stuff. You know, never thought anything else of the kind of the outside world versus in California. It's very open-minded here. It's very, you know, it's all about human connection. Everyone does something different. Everyone's about growth and potential. Now, is there the big difference in the personality shift in terms of not everyone's so honest, not everyone's so excitable or aggressive, so to speak? 100%, but that's kind of the major difference is just, you know, people are definitely salesy out here versus in New Jersey. Yeah. We're just like, we don't like you, we don't like you.
Yeah. That's that East Coast mentality it is. So what originally, like, was your game plan when you were at the age 19 compared to who you are now? I'm going to get deep real quick and then we'll go back to the fun stuff.
Oh, cool.
To where you're exactly winning your life right now. What would you say?
The biggest, yeah, and at 19, all I wanted to do was play professional basketball.
Basketball?
Yep, so at 19, I see the Lakers, actually.
The ball up?
Oh, yeah, I played college basketball. My dream, I actually applied for the assistant strength and coach job with the Lakers.
Really?
There was over 1,000 applicants, and I got down to, I made it through the final 50, and because I'm a female, they didn't take me. So,
really?
Yeah, it's a big thing. It's my biggest opportunity for growth is changing people's minds in terms of females and strength and conditioning. Versus the male population, which is quite overridden, or I should say white male population.
Yeah.
But at 19, all I cared about was basketball. That was my entire life. That's all I knew.
Did you want to go to the women's
NBA? I wasn't good enough for the WNBA, but I was good enough to play overseas.
Yeah.
I did know that at 19, and I loved basketball because how hard I had to work. I was short. I was really naturally good at soccer, but I didn't like that I didn't have to try too hard at soccer. Where in basketball, I had to try and work extremely hard just to be decent at the Division I, Division II level. And now looking back on that, you know, I wish I knew what it meant to have some type of social life, because I would have found out more about who I was as a person outside of the game of basketball. At the time, I had no idea who Kara was, if Kara wasn't associated with basketball and training. I had no idea, and you know, later on in life, you start to figure out who you are. At the time, you know, my whole identity was in basketball, and that's what I was known for, and I had no social life. I had my friends were my teammates. Yeah. That was the big thing.
And what has always led you towards the athletic industry? What, like, pulls you into that then?
The biggest thing that pulls me into the athletic industry is since I was little. I mean, having one lung at 3.5, having that all happen, which is another fun fact I guess I always use. I think subconsciously, I've always wanted to show people that it doesn't matter. The human body's amazing. You can do amazing things with it. If you give it time, if you continue to work, progress, and learn from either your experiences or seeking out mentors and others to experience with and utilizing your resources to the best of your ability, and the industry always changes. You always have to stay on your toes. The moment you think you know everything,
There's always
something else. This industry is one of the few that every single day a new study, a new technique, a new training style, a new nutrition fad is coming out, and you got to stay on your toes.
Shout out Herbalife.
Yeah, Herbalife, yeah. Oh, I know a lot about Herbalife, yeah. I have a couple friends that were in that a couple years ago. Yeah, that's the biggest thing is the potential for growth. It's not going to, no other industry in my opinion, other than maybe the arts, which is why I always say there's an art to the science, and there's a science to the art, is going to push you to grow every single day, every single moment. Because if you don't do that, you're not going to succeed. Point blank.
And what is to succeed then? What is it to you? That term alone, what is it?
To me alone, to succeed is to have the full benefit of both worlds at my disposal. And what I mean by that is to be able to work with a professional athlete or team or, you know, individual player, but then at the same moment be able to still help and engage with the moms, with the dads, with the general clientele who just want to, you know, lose weight or just want to get toned, to be able to have that mutual relationship with two niches who both love athletics, love sports, maybe they were once in sports, is my biggest term of success. And to have that financial stability to work with both those populations is definitely the biggest, you know, stretch for me, is to find that.
Carl's bringing the vibes today. Getting ready. In connection with yourself, if we can go back in time to when you were in your teens, what is something you would tell yourself, knowing now all the shit that you've gone through?
I always go back to the Dr. Seuss quote that was said to me when I was younger, but I never understood. And it goes like this: those who mind don't matter, and those who matter don't mind. And I always think about that quote when someone questions me, or someone judges me, or someone, you know, decides to use their own securities to place upon you. Is that, well, if they mind, they don't matter, and the people that matter never mind. They want you to grow. They're gonna push you. They're gonna challenge you. And I wish when I was younger I understood that. Because when I was a teen, I let a lot of things get to me. I've had short hair my whole life. I let what a lot of people said to me get to me. And I allowed it to affect myself mentally and my mental health. And if I was a teen and I understood that, I probably wouldn't have gone through the experiences that I did. But that's also part of the universal truth. We got to take experiences to learn.
Exactly. 100% I feel you on that.
Yep.
Damn, you got all the vibes, Cara. Been through your fair amount of stuff, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Still continuing with the day to day. We out here, though. That's how life, spiral of life.
Oh,
on to that.
Life's a circle.
Life is expanding outward.
Mm-hmm.
What exactly do you feel the fitness industry is going toward, and what do you feel like as of right now it is?
Yeah, right now it's, I like to think of it like a bakery that only sells, like a donut shops out here. You go to a donut shop here, they only have donuts. Maybe they have some really cheap black coffee, but they only have donuts.
That cheap black coffee.
Yeah, that cheap, disgusting black coffee, and they have donuts. Right now, that's where the fitness is at, where one person does one thing, and that's all they do. Where the industry is going is not calling people coaches or trainers, or like some people like to do, call themselves human biomechanic specialists, which just means they're a trainer.
Yeah.
They love to make fancy words to things to just make them sound smarter. Yeah. When it's just, you're a trainer, you're a coach. It's what you are. Where it's going, though, is more global concepts, where it's going to be expected now for trainers to know a little bit about physical therapy, to know a little bit about strength and conditioning, to know a little bit about working with athlete, work with the giant general clientele, be able to work with, you know, and know a little bit about athletic training, a little bit about human mechanics, you know, and not just how do I do an exercise or how do I give people exercises. Because right now where the industry is starting to shift is away from someone just having a singular focus and more to the expectation being knowing the entire human, mentally, physically, how to read body language, how to cue someone who's going through this, how to understand when they're going through this, how do we change the session, more in-depth. So the industry is definitely going towards more of a, the coach or trainer is no longer just a someone who knows exercises to give you or help you lose weight or get stronger. They now know how to globally change your life.
It's very interesting. It's an ongoing changing thing. That's why I was reading into it, and that's why I've asked you that question. Yeah. So you also appeared on NBC's Titan Games. How was that experience?
That experience was amazing. And at first, I didn't want to do it at
really?
All.
You didn't want to do it?
No, I didn't want to do it because I know enough about Hollywood. Now, I was living in Orange County at the time, but I knew enough about production in Hollywood to know that when my friends sent me, because I don't have TV, I still don't have TV. You know, I have Netflix, but
who watches TV nowadays?
Yeah. You know, I'll watch a Netflix documentary, but I don't watch too much TV anymore. I just don't have time for it anyway. But my friend sent me an email, a voicemail, text messages. You have to apply for this show. You're perfect. It's with Dwayne Johnson. Like, you're perfect for the show. And I messaged back. No. If it's with Dwayne Johnson, it's NBC. You know how many people, fans of The Rock, like the crazy fans of The Rock and that nature are going to apply, and they're probably going to pick them because they're crazy. You know, I know Hollywood. They're going to pick
crazy,
they're going to pick like the hard, diehard fans. They're not going to pick me because I'm a fan of Dwayne because of who he is as a human. I don't wear his shoes. I don't wear all his gear. It's expensive, number one. It's like $50 for a shirt. This is Ren's due. I know Ren's due. I don't need a shirt to say that. But I finally said yes, did the application video, and I'm so glad I did because the people I connected with, I'm still, you know, Charity Witt, who won the show, she actually flies out here tomorrow. We see each other every time she flies out here. We've become very good friends, and along with others on the show, we've become a tight-knit group of just people constantly trying to get better with their bodies and their minds and people we're serving. And Dwayne, I mean, he deserves every million. He's made $400 million last year. He deserves every million he's making because that guy is the total idea of when you say the Magic Johnson effect when you're in a room with him.
How was that experience actually being like in the same room as him, like next to him talking?
You forget that you're talking to him. Quite frankly, you feel like you're talking to, like as we're talking right now, to an aunt, to an uncle. I had the privilege to speak with him a couple times because I made it, you know, all the way, so I was able to have more conversations with him, you know, one or two one-on-one. And so many times I came out of that conversation and completely forgot that I was talking to him. It was so comfortable. It was as if I was talking to a family member. You're
really
almost shell-shocked.
Like organic as a person.
It's very organic. You almost are in shock because of how well his persona is and how well he makes you feel loved. And if you saw him on the street, obviously at this point no one can see him on the street, it's Dwayne Johnson, but he's just that famous now. But he's like every other person, and it's weird because I've met, at this point now, I've met so many people that are this level of fame or that level of fame or acting this, and I would never even say their name because they were terrible people, not at least in my experience. Some of them were singular experiences, and I can't say that for Dwayne. He deserves every penny he's getting because he's just down to earth. Like, you would never, if you saw him on the street, you probably wouldn't think he's a multimillionaire because he doesn't act like that. He acts as if he's still broke.
Very truthfully.
Yeah, he acts as if he's still broke.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really cool to
see. Like, that's the mindset that you have to have. Like, even though you know you get to a certain point in your life, you still have to act. Not where you came from, but still act genuine to yourself as an individual and, you know, to everybody else.
Yeah. Yeah, he's very genuine.
That's awesome.
I mean, he's a, you know, he really does fulfill the hardest worker in the room quote. And you know it because people that are around him. The only time you ever saw him get, like, let's go as if someone wasn't doing the job and wasn't working hard, because that's his expectation. Because that's what he does. You know, so to see that too, like those little bits where I saw him get on someone, I was like,
you're like,
I actually respect him more because he's taking a cameraman and saying, you need to, you know,
get your shit going.
Yeah, get your shit going. Like, we need to be rolling right now.
Yeah.
Which was cool to see that he expects, if you're on my team, you're working, just, you won't work on my level because I'm always going to work harder than you, but, you know, he deserves all the money. Yeah. Like, he's a badass.
What did you take from that whole Titans experience? Is it something that you'll go back to again, or is it something that
it was
a one-time experience?
Yeah, something. If I had the opportunity, I'd go back. Right now, they're doing the applications, everything for season two, and they emailed all us, the 8 males and 8 females that became Titans, to reapply. I have till December 6th to reapply, but I was also told to not go through the whole application process again and just wait and see if they call me. Because I already did my job, I've already done that whole process. I was told by a couple producers I shouldn't have to go through that whole process again. But if you want to make it up the ante and do it,
it'll up
your chances.
Yeah.
But I'd rather play my cards and see, like, if I was that much of a light on the show, and the opportunity's right, they'll call me.
All organic, huh? Yeah. I like that.
Yeah, I'm not gonna.
So you have to be out here, though.
Yeah, and plus the pool of people applying now, because of season one doing so well, is like triple.
Yeah.
Went from 100,000 people that applied the first season to 400,000.
Yeah, a bunch more, huh? But you can't look at numbers, though. I mean, numbers are everything, but you get me, like, it's more about just that.
Exactly.
You're going with that, like,
the
inside feeling.
Yeah. No, the experience was, I learned a lot about Hollywood, that's for sure. I learned a lot about what they film and what they show is not the same thing. But I will vouch for them that they did very well of keeping as true as possible to you, which they did well authentically, but it's still a show. You know, they made it reality and they did very well. Because I've heard things about other shows that were reality and they...
More like scripted stuff.
Yeah, and they didn't script anything. You know, but they did cut a lot of things, of course. It's a show, they only have so much time. So I understand that. But yeah, I learned that people's true colors really show out when the lights are on. Because there's a lot of people that are some big time people,
right there,
and the moment the lights turned on, woo!
I feel like it's like that though everywhere. It's different with the cameras, I feel like it is.
You found out the difference between athletes and IG models.
Damn, that's deep.
Yeah.
And change the subject a little bit. So you lift some heavy shit. What gets you through a workout mentally?
Mentally.
What gets you through the workouts?
Mentally, the biggest thing for me is like, tonight, after dealing with the clearing up the Snow White situation today of cleanup, tonight I'll be lifting before I have my flight in the morning. But my biggest thing is that at the end of the day, it's my heartbeat, and I know it doesn't matter what time of day, it doesn't matter what I've been through that day. I know if I don't lift heavy and I don't work, if I don't train, I literally have an alter ego to myself. I'm not Kara. I change into a whole different person. It's essential to my mental health, and it's essential to, I'd say, my heart health, because it's everything for me.
Cool.
So when I what gets me through a workout is knowing who I am and what I don't like about how I change mentally when I'm not training. So I know how much, when I train, how much better I feel afterwards, and how much better the rest of my day goes, how much more focused I am. It could be 11 o'clock at night, I could have just worked 12 hours. But if I just go a half hour, maybe 40 minutes hard, all of a sudden I want to grind out and do more work for another hour and a half. Because it just lights me up, it lights a fire underneath me that, you know, it's a blessing to be able to know that about yourself. Because a lot of people, they train or they work out and they don't feel that way afterwards. I feel that way and I know that, so I remind myself
of that. It's that like continuing feeling of when you're working out, that pump, that film, that feeling that you want to take with you, you know, after that.
Exactly. It definitely, you know, it's my biggest reminder. Like tonight, I'm going to need a big time. You know, I'm going to be like, look it.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter what happened today. You know, if you don't get this training session in, you ain't going to be ready.
It's that warrior mentality.
Yep, it's all about the warrior spirit.
Love it, be it. So what's a big difference do you think going into talking about the world a little bit now, going into 2020, what's a difference do you think the world can start to work on or needs to start working on?
I think we need to start
open subject.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing we need to start working on is helping people in the now and not continually to build charities and build response teams around things that have happened in the past. Because right now there's things happening in this world right now that are sickening, that in China right now there's, you know.
I was actually going to touch base about that with you right now.
Yeah, so, I mean, one of my former clients who was, you know, world Olympian in fencing, she's Muslim, and she just posted actually a whole thing, I reposted on my story about that, and it's sickening to see that that's going on right now, and we're still trying to support and change things that happened so many odd years ago, when there's stuff going on in other countries that are happening right now, we need to do things about right now. And I think that's what needs to change, is we need to start healing now and stop living in the past so much.
Start worrying about the now and the future to come, right?
Yeah.
And so I saw a car actually posted on her story today about a crisis happening in China. The Uyghur Muslims, yeah, if I'm correct, being detained by Chinese government, forced to live in concentration camps. They're also forced to denounce Islam and basically just live inhumane. What is your perspective totally on that?
Mm-hmm.
Going into, since ATP itself, it's a whole community thing and reaching out to the world.
Yeah.
What is something that you feel about that? How can we actually make a difference with that? Or something of an action that can be taken?
Yeah. The biggest action that can be taken, and this is what I can't stand about what's going on right now, is the only thing that can be done right now is to constantly voice our opinions and to go to our politicians, go to our leaders. And I can't, I'm the first person to say I cannot stand politics, absolutely hate it. But right now with a country like China, that is the only thing we can do as American citizens, is put it out on social media, put it out on the YouTubes, put it out to, you know, in writing to politicians, to letters. I know that's what, you know, she's doing for her community, is trying, that's why she made the post, that's why she's trying to reach out, because she knows it's the only thing she can do as well. And she's a powerful figure in her own right in the community, and I know that's starting to help bring that awareness. But right now, the biggest actionable step is bring awareness on your stories, your Instagram, whatever your media page is, starting a deep conversation with others about this. Not just on the internet front, but on the app front, but having conversations with people in person in your day-to-day life. Letting them know what's going on, because most people just aren't aware of it. And that's the first step.
Some people don't even pay attention to half of that shit.
Yeah, the first actionable step is having the conversation with people about what's going on, because most, I would say 80% of Americans don't even know that's happening, and it's even worse in Kenya. My friend's out in Kenya right now.
How's Kenya right now?
Pretty bad.
Really?
Yeah, he actually just did the whole thing today about donations for $25 gives all the materials they need to fix cataracts in Kenyans who are going blind. So he's been out there because he's in med school right now, basically pretending to be eye doctor, because even his pretend eye doctor while in med school is a whole new world for these people who can't see. And so he actually just posted a thing about donations for, and trying to help that out, because just for $25 you can give someone literally sight when they can't see.
Give us a link and Cara will tell us where to go.
Yeah, right.
For that. That's crazy.
Yeah, Kenya's pretty bad. It's slummy.
I've been thinking about doing a little mission trip out there next year with the brand and do something out there, help out.
I will be on that trip. I'll be on that trip.
Any difference we can make, I feel it's one life, one world.
Yeah, and Kenya needs it.
Kenya needs it. There's places that are have it really bad, so I feel like that's one thing. Definitely, if you're woke with that, you're woke.
Yeah, we definitely. I'll be. If you do that trip, let's do it. I'll be on that trip.
Let's go.
Let's get the raises.
I'm looking at it like springtime.
Yeah,
right,
I went
now
to South Africa in May. And
how was that?
Amazing.
Really?
We did a lot of deep work. I learned a lot about apartheid. We went to schools in the slums and outside of Cape Town.
You went out there? Yeah.
And taught basketball to the underprivileged kids.
I bet that whole experience was like a beautiful experience, though, huh?
At the same time,
compared to how it is, what you see out here and everything different, like culturally wise, I bet it was just a difference to see all of that.
Yeah, it actually made me realize how similar, though, America is to South Africa. Not Africa in general, but South Africa. South Africans just don't hide it, where in America we're very good at hiding what we did to, black population. We just did a very good job hiding it. But the same exact thing happened in South Africa as it happened here. South Africans just didn't hide it. They just left it out in the open.
They left it out there in the open?
Where we kind of, like, politically hide it when it's still in certain...
When you say that, do you mean, like, it's in the history context and all that? Mm-hmm. Or out there?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It's pretty similar, actually. It's very aligned. The more I learned, the more, you know, all of us, the team I was on,
we're
just looking at each other like, oh, my God, that's actually going on in America still. We just hide it.
That's crazy to hear that, because I never knew that either. That's one thing definitely, though. I feel like a lot of places, they try to do that, though, like hide their, you know, history or certain locations that have a big something that happened in the past. So.
Yeah.
Crazy to hear. Definitely, I want to make that trip though and see what difference can be done out there.
Yeah, no, let's make it happen, because actually Kenya was the next.
Kenya.
Yeah, South Africa in May, and Kenya was the next thing I wanted to do next year. Yeah.
So plan something. Let's plan it.
Yeah, let's do it.
Also, so 2020 is coming, a new decade. New decade. How do you feel about that?
Well, everyone, based on everyone's quotes, I've had 2020 vision my whole life.
2020 vision.
Definitely happened. I've had LASIK, so I do now.
Yeah.
I think that 2020 is just like every other year. It's just a new number. So, like, my favorite thing to say is I've never seen a quote or a year or looked at a, read a book that's deadlifted the bar for me and put the work in for me. So same thing with the, 2020, it's a new year, it's a new decade, but you can say all the quotes you want about it's a new year, new me, but it's not going
to about the
work,
now.
It's not going to put the work in for you, it's not going to change your life for you, you do that,
exactly.
You're in control of that, so keep saying 2020, new me, but if you're still doing the same thing, 2020 will be the same as 2019 was.
Oh, facts, where do you see yourself going for 2020, any upcoming projects or anything that we can look forward to seeing you in?
Yeah, the first upcoming project is speaking at the Mama Sports Academy, February 14th to 15th. Speaking upon women in sports performance with a bunch of other very powerful females in the strength and
conditioning. Kara is making moves.
Yeah. And the other big thing is also I'll be at a few trade shows and actually signed a contract with Life Fitness to be the trainer's trainer for the Life Fitness trainers. So Life Fitness Academy is...
That's interesting.
All the equipment you see in global gyms, that's Life Fitness for the most part. So they hired me on to train their trainers on muscle physiology, go to trade shows, and kind of be a lead in the physiology or the exercise aspect of what's going on at these trade shows.
Yeah.
Which is kind of a fun weekend, but that's kind of the upcoming things for 2020.
So Carr definitely will be making moves out of Hollywood.
Yeah.
And in.
Hey, you got to get out of here every once in a while.
No, you do, you do. It becomes like a bubble around here.
Yeah,
it does,
for sure.
It does. So going into a little bit about the past, throwing it back a little bit. Not even past, just in general life. What's something you can say to anybody who's going through any ups and downs? I recently saw you posted something about the up and downs. So I want to ask you, what personally... It's something that you can say here on the podcast about people going through their up and downs at the moment.
Yeah. The biggest thing is if you're in a down right now, is it takes that much more grinding to get out of the down, because you don't want to. You feel like it's never ending. The hardest part about being in a down is the depression, the mind, you know, shift that it is to be in a down, where you feel like nothing's getting better. But what should happen when you feel that way is a light bulb should go off in your brain that means it's time to reach out. I can't handle this myself. I'm in a very, whether it's a dark place or whether it's just a challenge that was brought to your attention or thrown your way, is the light bulb should go off and I need to start reaching out. The number one thing you need to do is write down who are your five people that are non-biased that you trust the most. It's probably not your parents. It's probably really, really good friends. For me, it's friends that I've chosen family, because you're parents are biased and they're emotional and they're not going to tell you really what's up, where those real people in your circle of five will. So call them, reach out to them, connect with them when you're in that space, because they're going to be able to see things clearly at the time when you're in that space and you're in that down and you can't. You're not going to see it. Reach out to them immediately, because they'll be able to see it and get you, help you through it. In a down space, and even Dwayne Johnson said this, no one does it alone. Anyone who says do it alone is a complete liar. When you're in a down space, you did not do that alone. Someone somewhere did something for you to help you get out of it.
So always reach out to people.
You have to.
Yeah.
After, you'll stay in that down, and it'll just take that. You might get out of it, but it's going to be slow, and it's going to take a hell of a lot longer.
That's facts from Kara. So going to ATP right now, what do you personally feel when you hear the term ATP? What is ATP to you? All the possibilities, minus the energy.
Minus
that's
ATP.
All part of it.
Minus
but
the molecules. ATP to me is that this, in short, that all this world is connected, that every molecule, as well as, you know, piece, a table, a chair, this is going to sound really kind of woo-woo, but everything you touch, everything you touch, everything you connect with, whether it's an inanimate object or a human, is part of your purpose or your why in some shape or form, and it's going to be a part of your life in some shape or form. So being self-aware of where you're going and where you're coming from allows you the ability to have all those doors and windows open and have the awareness to know when to close a door and when to open the next one. What door should stay closed? What door should stay open? And that gives you all the possibilities to have that self-awareness and control over your own life.
The vibe from Kara. I love it. I love it. Well, this was an ATP Sit and Talk with Kara K. Thank you guys for listening today.
Thank you, Kara. Anything last words you want to say?
No, thank you, Tony. I appreciate it. Just make sure you continue to do you, and don't worry about those who try to get in your way. Just keep connecting and being a good person.
Spread the energy, and we will see you guys soon. Thank you, guys.
Yep.